We're also going to talk about that. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
All right, so we got to talk about something pretty big, because I know all of you probably have these. Hundreds of your Warner Brothers DVDs probably don't work anymore. Yeah, I've got them. You've got them. So a lot of people are like, fuck streaming. I've got physical. All right, well, this isn't even your fault. This is Warner Brothers' fault. And when you hear what I have to say in this article, you're going to be fucking... First, you're going to run to your DVDs, and you're going to be like, okay, let me see if this is true. And people have already tested it themselves. That's the problem. So they know it's true. But like I said, when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh my God, I didn't even realize something like that would be a problem. But yeah, it is. So here we go. Due to the way Warner Brothers manufactured their DVDs, virtually all discs pressed between 2006 and 2008 are unplayable now. That includes the 2008 classic, The Dark Knight.
Bad.
You're about to have to check that thing out and make sure. Yeah, okay, so hold on now.
Hollywood. Kick some ass.
I'm a huge fan of old movies. Now, when I say old, I don't mean movies from 10, 20, or even 30 or 40 years ago. I love movies from the golden age of Hollywood, specifically the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. I've always loved this period, and given how hard it is to find many of these movies on streaming, I've made an effort to buy as many of them in physical media as possible. As such, I have thousands of old movies on DVD, and among my most treasured titles are a few dozen DVD box sets that Warner Brothers put out in the mid-2000s, as they control the best library of classic film. A few months ago, I dug into an old Humphrey Bogart box set to watch a favorite of mine, Passage to Marseille. After about an hour, the disc simply stopped working. The same thing happened with another movie from the set, Across the Pacific. I actually thought my old Blu-ray player was to blame, given that I was in need of an upgrade anyway. I bought a new UHD player and just forgot about it. Flash forward to about a week ago, I decided to throw on an old Errol Flynn movie called Desperate Journey. The same thing happened. This is more concerning to me, as unlike the other movies I mentioned, this has never gotten an HD release and was unavailable digitally. I did a little research online, and to my horror, I landed on several home theater forum threads and a couple of good videos confirming this was no fluke. It turns out that virtually every Warner Brothers DVD disc manufactured between 2006 and 2008 has succumbed to the dreaded laser rot, where discs simply stop working due to the rotting of the layers. Once it happens, it can't be undone. This was a frequent problem with Laserdiscs back in the 80s and 90s, but it wasn't a huge problem with DVDs. The issue comes down to the way the discs were altered. Many of the titles affected, which range from classics like The Wild Bunch and The Shawshank Redemption to TV collections like The Dukes of Hazzard, have been reissued on Blu-ray or digital HD. Some of the titles, such as many of the titles in the Looney Tunes collections, which I have, and the Golden Age of Hollywood movies, have not, making them, in a lot of cases, lost media. So what can be done about this? As stated in the Retro Blasting video, we had ticking time bombs on our hands. And the only way around the problem was to rip our faves to something like Plex, or just use DVD shrink. But it's too late for the majority of discs. Warner Brothers, of course, have yet to comment on this, so people like me have thousands of worthless discs cluttering our shelves. Here's the most comprehensive list of titles available. So far, Blu-ray discs aren't affected, although all HD DVD discs put out by WB in this period are basically expensive coasters. Oh, wow. While it would be great if WB... While it would be great if WB was trying to make good to consumers by at least offering us replacement MOD discs from the Warner Archive, I'm not holding my breath. Given that the discs only went bad after 15 years or so, I'm sure we feel like we got our... They feel like we got our money's worth.
I have so many, it would take forever for them to replace them.
Which we didn't. Which we certainly didn't, in my opinion. Special shout out to Damn Full Idealistic Crusader, a superb home theater YouTube channel that was way ahead of this story. According to our readers, FanFilm89, Warner Brothers will replace some if you contact them directly with a catch. They'll only replace discs that are currently in print. And sadly, many of the defective titles are not. Reach out to them through the WB store and keep us posted in the comment thread if they come through with replacements. So, let's talk a little bit more about what actually happened. Whoops, not with this guy. Not that one. There was another thread that was linked in the video. Let's go back to that. Let's see, what did it say? Oh, right here. Okay, so here we go. This is from the Steve Hoffman Music Forums. So, let's see what they said. Alright. Just a second. The Warner discs were released between 2006 and 2008. There's a mold code, IFP2U.... This is right above the spindle hole on the data side. So if you have any discs that have that, and I'll highlight it for you guys, that's what you're looking for. Those discs will no longer work. Hugh Grant film favorites, four film favorites, King of Horror. Oh, shit! I have that one! The Dreamcatcher side of disc one doesn't load in any player. Damn, four film favorites, Lethal Weapon. I think I have those, but I ripped them. Urban Action, four film favorites, Black Belt Jones, Hot Potato, Black Sands, Alfred Hitchcock Collection, Animaniacs seasons. Oh, shit! Astaire and Rogers Collection. Barbara Stanwyck, Batman the Complete Animated Series, Volume 2. Disc 3 starts skipping at Episode 5, Volume 3, and Disc 2 doesn't play the last episode. Betty Davis Collections. Blade Runner 4-Disc Collector's Edition. Wow! Burt Lancaster, Bubsy Berkeley, Buster Keaton, Cary Grant, Clark Gable, Classic Comedies, Classic Comedy Teams Collection, Classic Musicals, Cult Clamp, Dallas Multiple Seasons, Doris Day, Dukes of Hazzard Multiple Seasons, Elizabeth Taylor, Elvis Presley. 2-disc volume, 10-disc set, doesn't fucking work.
You know, I've got the box set of Dukes of Hazzard, and I hadn't even opened it.
And it doesn't work now.
Does it not?
Well, if it was made in 2008, it doesn't. Well, Errol Flynn.
Making it sound because it was decayed.
And, yeah, but that's what they said. After 15 years, that's when it wore off. They decay. No, they decay just from being
themselves.
Yes, they decay. That's what disc rot is. Well, they just decay from age, from being owned. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's a real thing. And because they had manufacturing problems, that's what happened. So, Esther Williams, Film Noir Collection, Forbidden Hollywood, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Friends, Season 3, Disc 1, Season 6, Disc 1, 3, and 4, F Troop, Season 2, Gary Cooper, Greta Garbo, Henrik Ibsen, Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney, James Stewart, Joan Crawford, John Ford, and John Wayne, oh man, John Ford, Katharine Hepburn, Legends of Horror Collection, all the discs rot. Oh, wow. Literary Classics Collection. Lois and Clark, Complete 4 Season. Disc 4 freezes at Episode 3. Looney Tunes Gold Collection. Disc 2, Disc 4. Gold Collection Volume 2. I have that one. Golden Collection 4 and 5. All four discs have rotted. Wow. Lucille Ball, Man from U.N.C.L.E. Complete Series. Season 2, Disc 6. Mickey Rooney, Julie Garden. Motion Picture Masterpieces, Myrna Loyd, William Powell, Nancy Drew, Movie Mystery, One Tree Hill, Paul Newman Collection, Pinky and the Brain, Popeye, damn! This is why you guys gotta use DVD Shrink. Just literally type it in, you could still download it, it's open source, you just fucking back up almost all your discs. Powerpuff Girls Complete Series, wow! Rooney and Garland, Sam Peckinpah, Shakespeare Collection, Silverhawks, Volume 1, Smallville.
What? I ain't even got Silverhawks anything. And it's too late.
Smallville, the complete 6th season. Disc 2 skips and freezes. Disc 3 and 4 only play the first 2 episodes in one player and read invalid on another. Spawn, the animated. Oh, wow. Disc 1 freezes and skips over the opening 8 moments of the first episode. That's not too bad. Stanley Kubrick, Warner Home Video Director's Theory, Super Friends, Legendary Superpowers Show, Disc 2, Superman Ultimate Collector's Edition 10, multiple films and extras no longer play, some completely rotted. Superman Theatrical Serials Collection, Disc 4, Supernatural, Season 2, some episodes on Disc 4 and 5 won't play. Tales from the Crypt, I ripped them just in fucking case. I've got them all backed up, guys. We're good. Complete fifth season. First season, disc one doesn't play anymore? I'd like to test that out myself. Not right now, but I've got them and they're really close. They're like close enough where I can actually test them now. Disc one and two won't play some of the episodes. Tarzan Collection. TCM Archives. TCM Greatest Classic Films. Tennessee Williams. Tex Avery's Droopy. Both discs rotted. All New Super Friends Hour Volume 1. Christopher Reeve's Superman Collection. Cult Camp Collection. The Exorcist Complete Anthology. Dominion Prequel to The Exorcist Fails at the Lair Change. Flash Original Series Disc 2. John Wayne Sopranos. Damn, the whole Sopranos doesn't work. The Twisted Terror Collection. The West Wing Multiple Seasons. Tom and Jerry Spotlight Collection, Volume 2 and 3. Tough Guys Collection, Twisted Terror, Vacation Europe. Oh, no, I have those. Vacation European Comedy, both of them. Val Lewton Collection, Veronica Mars, and Warner Brothers Gangsters. Individual titles. Okay, so there's hundreds of these. And this really sucks. Because I guarantee I have some of these movies.
I probably have a lot of them.
And I probably have a lot of them, too. 2001, Clockwork Orange, Nightmare on Elm Street. Damn.
I just got the Blu-rays of
those, yeah. I've got the DVDs.
I had the collector's set of the DVDs before that.
Yeah, I've got those now. I guess I don't now, since they're coasters.
Well, you might want to check
I'll check them.
Everything. It might be possible that...
Did a quick glimpse. I have Superman many seasons. See conflicting years. 2008. The current theory is that Syndrome Oliphant, the former Specialty Records, had their home video disc pressers reconfigured for HD DVD, but still pressed DVDs. Their equipment was reset in 2009, so those discs should be fine. So any repressings that say, disc made in Mexico, in blue on the back, by the way, as well as any Warner Archive burn-on-demand discs or any snapback case releases that migrated to standard cases. Oh, well, no, he asked if any were repressings that say, disc made in Mexico. I had the eventual seasons of the Waltons go bad.
Okay. I don't know. My parents, grandparents liked it. I'm not a fan. I don't believe. Of course, that was Billy on the original It was what's his name? Johnny Doc Boy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Name is on the Waltons. That was him in the original It TV movie.
So they said that, I mean, obviously there's a pirate thread. And you know what? I'll say it. If you're fucking disrotted, you can just download it. I'm sorry. At this point,
it's only fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to see. They said there was a, they're on a server. All right. Well, yeah. So if you have any of these discs, that sucks. But we've got other things to talk about today, so.
Bigger fish
fry. Yeah. Okay, so we have. Replacing DNA damage. Scientists identify new benefits of melatonin supplementation. Yeah. A small clinical trial published in Occupational and Environmental Medicine suggests that melatonin supplementation may help counteract DNA damage linked to night shift work by enhancing the body's ability to repair it. The researchers emphasized the need for larger studies to explore different dosages and assess the potential long-term effects of melatonin supplementation. Night shift workers experience suppressed nighttime production of melatonin, a key hormone regulating the body's internal clock. This suppression weakens the body's ability to repair oxidative DNA damage, a natural byproduct of cellular processes, potentially increasing the risk of some cancers. To investigate whether melatonin supplementation could mitigate this damage by improving DNA repair, the researchers conducted a study involving 40 night shift workers. After participants were randomly assigned to a daily 3 mg melatonin pill taken with food an hour before going to sleep during the day for 4 consecutive weeks, and half were randomly assigned to a 3 mg dummy pill, all the participants worked a minimum of 2 consecutive night shifts every week, lasting at least 7 hours a night for at least 6 months. Not had any sleep disorders or long-term conditions. Urine specimens were collected during the second of 2 subsequent day sleep and night shift periods, once before starting the trial and once near the end of 4 weeks. Participants wore activity trackers to measure how long they slept during the day. Levels of 8-OHDG, which is an indicator of DNA damage repair capacity, were measured in all urine passed during periods of daytime sleep and the subsequent night shift. Urinary levels of 8-OHDG were 80% higher during daytime sleep, indicating better repair among those taking the melatonin supplement than those taking the dummy pill. But there was no significant difference in urinary levels during the subsequent night shift. This is a small study, and most of the participants worked in healthcare, so the results may not be applicable to other night shift workers like lumbermen. Well, I don't think they're working at night, acknowledged the researchers, nor were they able to account for natural light exposure, which affects circulating melatonin levels. But they point out, increased oxidative DNA damage due to diminished DNA repair capacity is a compelling mechanism that may contribute to carcinogenicity of night shift work. I already knew that you could get, it would fuck you up. Our randomized placebo-controlled trial suggested that melatonin supplementation may improve oxidative DNA damage repair capacity among night shift workers. And they conclude that our findings warrant future large-scale studies that examine varying doses of melatonin supplements and longer-term impacts of melatonin use. Pending the outcome of such studies, melatonin supplementation may prove to be a viable intervention strategy to reduce the burden of cancer among night shift workers. They add, assessing long-term efficacy is critical, since those who work night shifts for many years would need to consistently consume melatonin supplements over that time frame to maximize the potential cancer prevention benefits. Reference, melatonin supplementation and oxidative DNA damage repair capacity among night shift workers, a randomized placebo-controlled trial. Okay. So there you go. And it was funded by the Canadian Cancer Society and the Canadian Institutes of Health Research Institute of Cancer Research in partnership with the Cancer Research Society and the BC Cancer Foundation. So that's an interesting little study. I might try it myself. Okay. Let's see here.
If you're indoors a lot, too, because you ain't getting the...
Maybe not.
Sun rays.
Repair DNA damage. Okay, here we go. OnlyFans star 36 tours nursing homes to find elderly men to appear in her X-rated videos. An OnlyFans performer is launching a tour of nursing homes in order to find elderly veterans to star in her X-rated videos. Tiffany Wisconsin 36, or Wisconsin Tiff, as she's known online, first joined OnlyFans during the COVID pandemic, but it wasn't until she started filming content with senior citizens that her popularity skyrocketed.
How about find people that are coherent? What's going on? What are you doing? Help! Help! Do I get pudding afterwards?
After one of her regular co-stars fell through, Tiffany made plans to hit nursing homes across America's Midwest. Oh, Lord.
I tell you, the smell of nursing homes.
Makes
my winter go limp, probably.
To find a new batch of geriatric gentlemen to film.
Trying to get a hard one out. Nursing home.
I want to hit Chicago, maybe Milwaukee. I don't have the exact dates yet, she explained. Going to the VA, Veterans Health Administration, is even easier because a lot of older men go to the VA for their health appointments and stuff, she added. Tiffany said she likes older men because they're more caring and are emotionally available. They're experienced and they take their time with me and they actually value the time we share together, she said. The thing with younger guys who are my age, they're all like, bam, 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 bam. But with older men, I can actually sit down and have a conversation. The blonde beauty, who is now divorced, was with her high school sweetheart for 17 years.
Sweetheart? I had a sweetheart back in high school. Grape, I believe. It was delicious.
But she says she had to walk away from the marriage because her husband wasn't kind enough. I was just tired of being yelled at, not feeling like I was good enough for him, she explained.
He kept telling you what he wanted. Suck it! Suck it, bitch!
But older men are just the nicest guys, and they're the easiest ones to talk to, she added. When it comes to their skills between the sheets, Tiffany insists that many of her mature lovers don't even need Viagra to perform. When I perform with Jack Moore, he's older, and he never uses Viagra, she said of Moore, who is one of porn's most notorious geriatric stars. He works out, he's healthy, and he doesn't need it, she added. Tiffany expects her nursing home tour to be quite lucrative for her OnlyFans page, so she's being extra careful to make sure that her content isn't pulled from the platform like Bonnie Blue's viral 1,000-man orgy was. I have to get.
You're unwanted before.
I have to get consent forms and make sure everything is legal, so I'm not breaking any rules. She explained.
Telling you, anytime you get advertised, how many guys you get ran through with, doesn't matter what the age, you become unwanted property. No one want. And not property like I own you, but marriage is a contract with each other. Like, you're mine, I'm yours, blah, blah, blah. So.
When it comes to her private life, Tiffany admits that she briefly found love with a 70-year-old man, but she's since called it quits on the relationship. Now I have a list of older men, and that's how this old nursing home thing started, because I need more, she said. I need more options because people want more. Tiffany also said she prefers not to work with other male OnlyFans stars and instead likes to stick to her niche of elderly porn. It makes it more attainable for these guys, she asked. They're like, hey, I go to the VA too. They're just regular guys, and that's what I'm known for. Farm animals don't need consent. Humans do. Gotta love OnlyFans as it's self-revolving. Jeez, must have had a major sundowners to scroll consent to the RSPCA. Win-win for the dude. Might as well go out with a bang rather than a wiener.
You sign here to do not resuscitate and here for blah, blah, blah.
What the hell is going on here? Exclusive. Sean Diddy Combs and Luigi Mangione on lockdown as race riot erupts in Brooklyn Federal Jail. Wow.
Race riot.
Race riot.
Mm-hmm. So depict, what is a race riot? A riot at involving race?
Yes.
Is it just a particular color of race? Or particular race?
Multiple
of color?
Inmates were observed fighting.
We gotta hide our greatest assets, Mangione and Diddy. You're gonna bring a lot of money to our prison.
Wow! MDC, which houses more than 1,600 inmates, is notorious for its deplorable conditions. 2019, the prison made headlines after inmates suffered days without heat or power during severe winter conditions. Uh-huh. Diddy has been locked up at MDC since he was arrested last year. Uh-huh. Wow. They put him in a hardcore cell. But they also put Mangione in there.
That's all right. You know him. Can't stop, won't stop.
I don't know. It's crazy. All right. Gen Z, please touch some grass. Toonami did not put everyone on to anime. Gen X cultivated anime fandom before you were even born. The 1995, rather, in the 1995 cult fave film, Usual Suspects, a line from the French poet Charles Baudelaire, which was now famously quoted. It's a line declaring that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world it didn't exist. Gen Xers like myself were somewhere in our 20s when Usual Suspects came out. And it seems as though, perhaps by way of osmosis, we universally made that line our modus operandi. You see, as adults, Gen Xers apparently... Kaiser Sose, the generation... Hold on. This author made this... Why did you make this? Only medium members, you idiot.
Ew.
Just Remove paywall. I did. Hold on.
Who's that paywall remover? Warner Brothers? You son of a bitch.
If I have to, I'll go into archive.is.
Oh, man.
Archive. Wow. So, nobody saved this yet. We're not going to do a live one. Well, we're going to do a live one, but I'm going to save it real quick. All right, so we'll come back to that. So, okay. How a teen without a vaginal opening becomes pregnant. How doctors think it happened.
Throat babies?
This is interesting. And a medical anomaly. A teenage girl without a vaginal opening became pregnant via oral sex. A 15-year-old... This is very...
Right.
This is very interesting. You'll like... No, it's not what you think. It's crazy. A 15-year-old from Lesotho, a landlocked country within South Africa, was admitted to a hospital with symptoms of abdominal pain. Routine testing revealed the patient was 9 months pregnant. More shocking than the surprise pregnancy was the revelation that the girl had no vaginal opening, a rare birth defect known as distal vaginal atresia. The condition affects 1 in 10,000 to 15,000 newborn girls and is characterized by the failure of the vaginal plate to canalize. As a result of her distal vaginal atresia, the patient delivered her healthy 6.2-pound baby boy via C-section. Medical experts were puzzled as to how someone without a vaginal opening could conceive a child without access to in vitro fertilization. The girl reported that in the months leading up to the birth, she noticed her body changing shape, but because she does not have a vaginal opening and thus did not engage in penetrative vaginal sex, she did not believe she was pregnant. In later interviews, the miraculous mother shared that she became aware that she had no vagina after disappointing attempts at conventional intercourse.
No vagina or vagina?
Vagina.
I swear you saw vagina.
That's not what I did say that.
And later, I used to say on the man show.
We'll do it again. In later interviews, the miraculous mother shared that she became aware that she had no vagina after disappointing attempts at conventional intercourse that led her to prefer oral sex. When questioned about how she may have become pregnant, the young mother revealed that 9 months before a C-section delivery, she had suffered stab wounds to her abdomen shortly after performing oral sex on a partner. At the time, she confided in the nurse that her ex-boyfriend had violently attacked her when he found her in the act with her current partner. The medical team that attended to the patient surmised that the sperm she swallowed was transmitted to her reproductive organs through her stab wounds, resulting in an indirect and unexpected conception.
Interesting.
That is fascinating. What makes this pregnancy even more shocking is that typically digestive acid in the stomach is strong enough to quickly kill sperm, rendering it unviable. However, the medical team believes that the sperm miraculously survived because the girl was malnourished at the time of the attack, thereby reducing the acidity levels in her digestive system and allowing the ingested sperm to fertilize her uterus through her stab wounds. The case, which dates back to 1988, was detailed in the British Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. The resurfaced news follows a recent report of a Scottish woman who thought she had a burst in appendix, only to find out she was pregnant and gave birth 40 minutes later.
Well,
lot to unpack here.
Life, finds a way,
I guess. Okay, we're there. We got it. I backed it up for the entire world. This is preservation right before your eyes. Okay, Gen Z, please touch some grass. Toonami did not put everyone onto anime. But I think the problem... Oh, no. This... Okay, cool. This is the entire thing. Great. Okay. Back to the article. You see, as adults, Gen Xers apparently Kaiser Sose the generation before ours and the ones after into forgetting that we even exist. And this seemingly so that we could set about running the world on the DL, as noted in a New York Post op-ed back in 2022. And since becoming the generation with the most cultural power and influence in America, we don't tend to get worked up over much. I mean, what do you expect? When you grew up as a latchkey kid of working parents, often divorced, doing laundry and making dinner in the microwave by age 9, programming computers by age 14, making translated subtitles for anime on bootleg VHS tapes by 17, see fan subs, and networking with like-minded future influencers in AOL chats and message boards by 24, some stuff is just beneath you. But there are a few things that'll make Gen Xers step from behind the wizard's curtain. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. One of these was that blatant attempt at a cultural appropriation by millennials back in early 2022 when they tried to make Dr. Dre's epic Super Bowl halftime show about them, as if Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, Snoop, Eminem, and Fitty weren't all card-carrying members of Gen X. Kendrick Lamar, then 35 years old, was there as a generous gesture of inclusion. Another is Gen Z's social media disinformation, like that which today has stirred this culture writer to pen a nicely worded nasty gram manifesto. The disrespectful propaganda in question propagates the nutball notion that it wasn't until the late 90s that American kids became woke to the wonders of Japanese anime. He's saying, fuck the wok, but really, what the fuck? A shining example of this ridiculous revisionist history occurred in the form of a widely shared post made on the Grey Clash Facebook page in February of 2023. It was a post that had me, when I finally saw it a whole year later after it was shared in an anime fan group I'm in, giving both stink face and stink eye. This man right here single-handedly put everyone onto anime. Toonami Tom put everyone onto anime. Ugh. Millennials and Zoomers, would y'all please go outside and touch some grass? Touch grass is used on the internet to go, we know that. Adding insult to cultural erasure, someone in the comments had the whole nerve, the gall, the unbridled audacity to hail Cartoon Network's Toonami anime block, launched in 97, as being the reason that anime pages, groups, blogs, message boards, and other media in the West were created. What the F, form like Voltron, have you been smoking? I don't know who needs to hear this, of course I do, but young Gen X nerds, geeks, and super freaks were fully aware of the awesomeness of anime before Dragon Ball, Pokemon, Sailor Moon, Fox TV, Kids WB, Toonami, most millennials, and all of Gen Z ever came into being.
Yeah, I think 80s and 90s, a lot of our animation was made in
Japan,
China.
Japan and stuff like that, yeah. Korea. Yeah. At the time when the fact-deficient post accosted my poor eyeballs, it had already gone viral, generating 35,000 emoji responses and an astounding 11,000 Facebook shares. Talk about the blind leading the blind down the information superhighway. Okay, when we talk about divisiveness in society today, right after the racial and the political divide is the cultural gulf between Gen Y and Z, who've deluded themselves into thinking that they're the arbiters of anime fandom in America and live experience of Gen X grounded in actual reality. Now, I'd be totally remiss if I didn't first acknowledge that late-stage boomers were the first kids in America to be exposed to imported cartoon goodness from Japan. The anime shows they watched were old-school classics like Astro Boy, 8-Man, Gigantor, Kimba the White Lion, Marine Boy, Prince Planet, and The King Kong Show, the first anime series produced in Japan for broadcast in the U.S. Then Speed Racer Mach Go 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 hit America's television airwaves in 67. The popularity of this tune would keep it airing on and off throughout the next decade. Later in the 90s, its surprise reemergence in the late-night lineup of MTV stirred a ginormous tsunami of nostalgia feel for Gen Xers. But the foundation upon which today's anime fandom in the U.S. stands was laid in the 1970s, with shows like Battle of the Planets, Gotcha Man, Star Blazer, Space Battleship Yamato, and they were followed in the mid-1980s by shows like Mighty Orbots, Voltron, Beast King Go Lion, Transformers, Robotech, which is Super Dimension Fortress Macross. I didn't even know that. I didn't know Robotech was actually Macross. Transor Z, a.k.a. Mazinger Z, and Captain Harlock and the Queen of a Thousand Years. Adding to the great wave of anime imports from Japan, Gen X would also be the first kids in America to be introduced to the wondrous joys of Japanese toys. These quasi-exotic playthings were licensed for production in the States by American toy companies like Mego, Mattel, Tonka, Hasbro, and Matchbox. In 1977, Mattel introduced a line of super robot toys uniting Mazinger Z, Raiding Dragon, Getter Robo G, Dengard Ace, and others in the sensational Shogun Warriors toy line. Along with those Rock'em Sock'em super robots came toy versions of the Kaiju, Godzilla, and Rodan 2, one of his frenemies from Monster Island. Also that year, Marvel Comics acquired a license from Japan's Toho Pictures to produce a Godzilla comic book series. 2 years later, Marvel parlayed by acquiring licenses to produce a comic book series based on Hasbro's Shogun Warriors, and another for Micronauts, a series based on Takara's Microman line that was licensed by Mego in 1976 for toy production in the U.S. But the 1980s brought an even more gnarly assault on the senses of Gen X kids that would impact pop culture in the U.S. for generations. In 1984, senses-shattering multi-hit combo came by way of a transforming robot toy line from Hasbro based on Takara's Microman and Diaclone toys. The renamed Transformers was released in tandem with a Transformers TV show produced jointly by Sunbow Productions, Japan's Toei Animation Studio, and Marvel Productions. Transformers comic book series was published by Marvel as well, and they're really good. There's even a Spider-Man tie-in. And Spider-Man's wearing his black suit. Oh. It's the first time he wore the black suit. Yep. We were not ready. So, this was based on Microman and Dioclone, but it was called Transformers. The same year, Matchbox also released a series of transforming robot toys to the marketplace licensed from Poppy, later Bandai of Japan. Glad they changed to Bandai. These toys were based on the anime series Beast King Go Lion, another show from Toei, which is actually really worth watching. I had a guy track that down for me. That was dubbed into English and aired in the September of 1984 as Voltron Defender of the Universe. We were not ready. 1985 would see the airing of Robotech, a sprawling anime space opera adopted from Tatsunoko's Super Dimension Fortress Macross. I didn't even know this. Matchbox produced the Robotech toy line, and a year later, the Robotech The Macross Saga comic series from Comico landed in comic book shops across America. I have those, but we're not doing them on the Comics Corner. We were not ready. Unless you ask. If somebody said, can you do those old Robotech, then I might. They're long. It would take me a while. But if for some odd reason you're here on the Grim Articles show and you like our comics and you're like, you have the Macross ones? Could you do those? I'll try. Then 2 years later, the first translated versions of actual manga from Japan were introduced to the U.S. comic book shops. They were Area 88, My the Psychic Girl, Legend of Kamui, Xenon and Lone Wolf and Cub. Yep, that's considered a very, very popular. Yes, I have Lone Wolf and Cub. Yes, we won't be doing that on the freaking channel because I don't really do mangas. And then in August of 1988, the English adaptation of Akira was released through Marvel's Epic Comics imprint, making Gen X teens the first in the U.S. to read that groundbreaking manga masterpiece. In 89, the animated film version of Akira began making the rounds at art house theaters in America's metropolitan markets and raised the bar on what then young anime fans could expect from animated entertainment. Gen X by then was fully primed and ready. For bear in mind, there was no mention made until now of any of the live-action tokusatsu shows that Gen Xers also famously watched after high school in the 1970s, like Johnny Sacco's Flying Robot, Giant Robot, Ultraman, which my father watched, The Space Giants, and Spectre Man. No, it was Spectre Man he watched. It was the craziest thing. My old man, he didn't like any of this Japanese, all this other stuff. Like, he wasn't in for any of the video games. But he said, oh, Spectre Man, I used to watch that all the time. And he had this little gorilla that was the bad guys. I watched that all the time when I was a kid. And it damn near made, I almost fainted. I was like, my old man was watching Tokusatsu, as redneck and country as he was. He actually enjoyed. Well, he didn't know it was Japanese. He just enjoyed it. He thought it was
trip.
Or the Saturday afternoon movie matinees featuring Starman or Godzilla, Makani Kong, Jet Jaguar, Gamera, and other kaiju superstars. But just know that Gen X kids were the first kids in the nation to have it all. It was our having been immersed in that multifaceted array of imported pop culture from Japan in the 70s and 80s that gave rise to anime music mixtapes, anime fan clubs, fanzines, message boards, and chat room discussions on AOL in the 90s, the fan-made animated GIFs and MIDI song files from MySpace profiles, as well as blogs and every other brick laid in the foundation upon which anime and the adjacent fandom stand today. It's because of us that anime and manga are now mainstream. It was Generation X that cultivated the refined taste for imported pop culture from Japan that millennials and zoomers would receive as hand-me-downs from their hella quiet but hella influential older sibling. Although we did it without tagging our name all over everything, please be advised that one of the theme songs on the Gen X soundtrack mixtape of our lives is the 80s anthem, Don't You Forget About Me. And though we are, admittedly, at least partly to blame for our erasure in this matter, we're going to ask now, going forward, that you don't forget about us, Gen Ys and Gen Zs. And also don't forget that little recommendation about grass. Yep. This is by Paco Taylor. He's a culture writer from Chicago. He loves old history books, Japanese giant monster movies, hip-hop, comics, Kit Kats, and Kung Flu Fix.
It's going around, ain't it?
Kung Fu Flicks. Look, I had a very rough day today.
I was Kung Flu fighting the other day.
Damn.
Luckily, I got my Kung Flu shot.
No, Toonami didn't put everyone onto anime. It was the floodgate that helped make it as popular as it is today. In the 80s, we had Transformers on TV along with Robotech. That was the kids' stuff that laid the foundation. Then Dragon Ball. That's true. Toonami didn't put everyone into anime, but it did make it more mainstream.
It brought it to the mainstream,
but it didn't.
Probably people that wouldn't have
checked it out
for otherwise.
Yeah. All right, now this one kind of sucks, but we have to report it. Okay, so let me grab some water first. That might help. Now it's also time for me to change the girl on the calendar. Lorena Duran is being changed for Zandra Pole.
Oh, she a transgender?
There's no pole on this girl.
No pole on her. Maybe Polish shadow.
I don't know. It's P-O-H-L. Zandra Pole is the girl in March.
I got a pole for her.
Yeah, she's a hot one. Okay. All right, so I'm a working musician, and Spotify says it's not to blame for how little artists make from streaming. Here's how you can really support your favorite bands. All right, so Spotify is getting annoyed with artists accusing it of hoarding all the money from streaming music. Speaking to our colleagues over at Music Radar, it pointed a finger at the middlemen that sit between Spotify and the artists themselves. Spotify's got a point. There are lots and lots of people taking often very large cuts of the money before any of it reaches the artist. But Spotify is also being a bit disingenuous, because middlemen are not. That doesn't pay a single cent for most of the songs you can stream from its service. And while its overall payouts are enormous, the lion's share goes to artists who are already huge. I'm a broke musician, and I make more money from a single Bandcamp sale than I expect to make from any streaming service this year. If you want to support artists, streaming isn't the way to do it. Where does the Spotify money actually go? Well, Spotify's statement was partly in response to Gavin Rossdale, who said that we know that Spotify barely pays. And whatever they do pay, the record companies make sure they sign off most of it before it goes to the artists. Writing to Music Radar, Spotify said, as Gavin correctly points out, streaming services do not pay artists or songwriters directly. They pay the rights holders, who in turn pay artists and songwriters based on their individual agreements. Once that revenue leaves a service like Spotify's hands, how much money goes to artists and songwriters depends on their own contracts with their rights holders. That's absolutely true. And if you imagine streaming revenues as cake, then there are many people stuffing their faces before the artist gets whatever crumbs are left. The music business is infamous for its ability to bring in huge amounts of money without giving very much of it to the talent. But while the streaming cake is huge, most of that cake is given to the very biggest artists via their record companies, while many artists don't get offered any crumbs at all. The music streaming services don't pay artists directly, and they don't pay per stream. After they've taken cut of your subscription fees, basically 30% to cover operating costs and profit, they then pay out royalties based on market share. Spotify explains it here. We calculate stream share by telling the total number of streams in a given month and determining what proportion of those streams were people listening to music owned or controlled by a particular rights holder. That's great if you're Taylor Swift or Kendrick Lamar, but it's not so great if you're a garage band just starting out. Since 2024, Spotify has demonetized songs that don't get 1,000 streams a year. Wow. By some estimates, 86% of music on the platform. Wow. As Air Herstran explained in Variety, an artist with 20 songs at just under 1,000 streams each would earn around $60. Now that artist would earn zero. 60 is not life-changing, and it's also not nothing. What that means, in practice, is that the very biggest artists are doing very well from streaming. Rates of around 0.00031 per stream may seem small, but when you're Taylor Swift, the first female artist to reach 100 billion Spotify streams, that's a ton of money. But the very smallest artists aren't making much money, or any money at all. Update. A Spotify spokesperson contacted TechRadar with a response to Carey's comments above about the change to the payment system. Today, Spotify hosts well over 100 million tracks. That's a lot of music. Tens of millions of them have been streamed between 1 and 1,000 times over the past year, and on average, those tracks generated about 3 cents a month. 3 cents a month! Because labels and distributors require a minimum amount to withdraw, usually $2 to $50 per withdrawal, and banks charge a fee for the transaction, which is usually $1 to $20 per withdrawal, the money often doesn't reach the uploaders, and these small payments are often forgotten about. But in aggregate, these small disregarded payments have added up to $40 million per year, which could instead increase the payments to artists who are most dependent on streaming revenue. Spotify does not make additional money under this model. There's no change to the size of the music royalty pool being paid out to rights holders from Spotify. We simply use the tens of millions of dollars annually to increase the payments to all eligible tracks, rather than spreading it out into 3-cent payments. The original article continues below. If you care about music and want to support artists, the best thing you can do isn't to stream them, it's to buy from their Bandcamp, especially on Bandcamp Fridays when all your cash goes to the artists. It's hard to tell when Bandcamp Friday's coming out, though. There's a special site for that. It's to buy their merchandise, and most of all, it's to go to their shows. All of these provide real money, or less directly to the artists, and so help to make sure that they can keep providing you with new music in the future. There's no guarantee of that through streaming alone. If you love a band, don't just stream them. Go see them. Okay. Microsoft is shutting down Skype after buying it 14 years ago for $8.5 billion. Huh. Yep.
It served its purpose, I guess.
Yeah, it served its purpose. Everybody went to Zoom. Whoops. Alright. Let's see what else we've got here. Scientists discover... Okay, hold on. Got some older ones? We might. We do. Recently closed. Okay. So let's look at some of the older articles that we have here. So, I do want to talk about this. Originally, I was going to talk about this with Empress, but she's no longer part of the
team. I know that,
but I said I was going to talk about this with her, but not now. She's doing all right. Those of you that are curious, she's doing fine. So, I do want to stress, as I have said before on Twitter and here, what happened with her had absolutely nothing to do at all with anything we talked about on this show or any of her appearances on this show. Everything happened completely it's basically on her end. It was by a person that she thought she could trust and apparently couldn't. This person has been dealt away with. There are some very horrifying things that happen because of it, but it is a lesson that she has to learn and that her husband has to learn, and they've got everything cleaned up. They actually have a YouTube channel. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but they've got a YouTube channel where they upload videos and they let people know, you know, what they're doing. It's like a TikTok in a way, but basically, yeah, they're doing okay. By all means, they're fine. So, don't worry about her. But yeah, we won't be having her back. That's it for that. Don't think I need to say anything else about that. Like I said, it's a hard day. I've worked extremely hard, so I am tired. Okay. What is this? I am a ripe and juicy peach.
Are you?
15 things I've learned about love in 15 years of being single. This is a month old. I mean, that's not that old. I've been dating since I was 21, and it has taught me a lot about friendship, hope, heartache, and myself. Here are the greatest lessons and joys of solitude. Oh, Lord. It's long as shit. I'm not going through all that.
She had a long time to think while she was enjoying that solitude. I like solitude from time to time.
Yeah. Mother of two dog groomer is jailed for blackmail plot to extort money from innocent man she vowed to publicly brand a pedophile. Damn. That's a lot of shit. A callous, cruel, and entitled businesswoman who demanded payments from an innocent man has been jailed for blackmail. Mother of two, Deborah Hatton, 42, threatened to tell everyone the victim was a sex offender after being told he had abused one of her friends as a child, the court heard. The man who denied any wrongdoing and is not facing prosecution was so distraught and terrified by the claims he became ill, lost weight, and considered taking his own life, a court heard. Yeah. Okay, in fear of reprisals, he agreed to pay €250 to Hatton's unnamed friend, but then went to police. That's what it said. Inquiries revealed that Hatton, who runs a dog grooming business, made further repeated demands for weekly payments of €100. One message she sent read, "Your next visit is not going to be from me." Hatton of Henley Green near Wigan was found guilty of blackmail after a trial at Bolton Crown Court. Jailing her for 16 months, Judge Abigail Hudson said, "The way you behaved was frankly horrific. It was callous, cruel, and entitled. You went round to this man's house and threatened to destroy his life. He quite rightly recognized that if you followed through on those threats, he would be at risk of profound violence, and he was terrified. You left him contemplating ending his own life. Yep. When you saw him, you noted how ill he looked, but could manage no humanity and instead sent him a message again, threatening to destroy his life if he didn't pay." The court heard Hatton targeted her victim in 2021 after being told he had abused her unnamed friend several years earlier. David Toll, prosecuting, said, "She comforted the complainant, that's what we're calling it? The complainant? Wouldn't it be better to call it the complainant?
Call her by her name.
She confronted the complainant. And, you know what? I'm going to argue with the fucking British system. Complainant. It's clearly the person making the complaint. I mean, you don't say, I'm making a complaint. I'm making a complaint. Yeah. So it should be complainted. And there were then threats. There was a demand for monies being paid. Defense counsel and Ian Morris said she generally believed what she was told. She felt the complainant should make good and pay for what happened. The blackmail charge Hatton was convicted of stated that, in total, she had made an unwarranted demand of, with menaces, from her victim over a four-month period between April 2021 and August 2021, with a view to gain for yourself or another, or with intent to cause loss to another. The judge added, I bear in mind you believe the allegation to be true, but I am astonished that anyone could have perceived the appropriate action was to reduce something so personal to cash. But you did.
Yeah.
Sadly, I can detect little remorse. You don't acknowledge the cruelty of your actions, and while I accept that you believe the complainant to have done something horrific, to have such an arrogant view of your own superiority is troubling. You are not perfect, Miss Hatton, and sitting in judgment on others without humility shows a real meanness of spirit. It causes me to fear that you will behave this way again.
American terms, you're a real bitch.
You should be a judge.
Possibly a cunt. That would be British.
Mr. Morris said Hatton is the sole carer of two children aged 14 and 16 and urged the judge not to jail her, adding there a suggestion of the loss of her home and the children's home as well as the loss of her business. Hatton was issued...
They said, tough titty.
No, they didn't do that.
They should.
Hatton was issued a restraining order banning her from contacting the victim for 10 years. Her friend, who could not be named, was acquitted of blackmail at an earlier hearing. Elon Musk shocks the country as he reveals the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time he's unmasked through Dodge.
Dodge. That's what they call it.
Elon Musk revealed on Joe Rogan's podcast that he uncovered the Social Security Administration to be the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time during his time at Dodge. While appearing on the Joe Rogan Experience, the Tesla billionaire claimed that Social Security will cause the U.S. financial situation to only be much worse in the future. Social Security is the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time. People pay into Social Security and the money goes out of Social Security immediately. But the obligation for Social Security is your entire retirement career, he began. If you look at the future obligations of Social Security, it far exceeds the tax revenue, he said. Musk warned that the country's debt will only be double in the future due to the scheme. Have you ever looked at the debt clock, he continued? There's our present-day debt, but then there's our future obligations. So when you look at the future obligations of Social Security, the actual national debt is like double what people think it is because of future obligations. Yes. Basically, people are living way longer than expected, and there's fewer babies being born, so you have more people who are retired and that live for a long time and get retirement payments, he told Rogan. However bad the financial situation is right now for the federal government, it'll be much worse in the future, he added. First Buddy Musk has warned of the risks associated with... Is that what they're calling him? First Buddy? Well, we have First Lady, and I guess we now have First Buddy. First Buddy Musk has long warned of the risks associated with falling birth rates, saying in 2022... that it was the biggest danger civilization faces by far. A report by the Social Security and Medicare Board of Trustees last year found that the program would only be able to pay out benefits for around the next 11 years. Wow. Yeah. In addition to Social Security, Musk and Rogan rattled through a range of topics in the hours-long episode released on Friday, including Doge, artificial intelligence. Oh, I'm going to have to listen to this. His SpaceX advancements, as well as joking about Musk's Nazi salute. Musk hit it back to haters and said he did not see the backlash coming after his infamous inauguration Nazi salute. So, I don't want to reveal that stuff to me. I'd rather listen to him talk about it.
Yeah.
But that is interesting here.
Hear it.
The hell? Naked sex craze and screaming obscenities. The true tragedy of Gone with the Wind stars madness revealed.
That's usually how I do it. It's naked.
Wow. Well, they won't let you do it. They want you to pay for Daily Mail Plus. So, yeah, we're not going to do that one. Former Fox News anchor says Trump's Oval Office showdown with Zelensky was staged. Could be. We don't know. I mean, it's interesting. Okay. Oh, well, we talked about this already. Melody Max says, get the perverts out of gaming. This really isn't even apparent. It's not even... We don't even need to talk about this one now. Neil Gaiman has responded to sexual misconduct. We talked about that one already. I haven't got rid of any of his books.
What's he read?
Pretty much almost a lot of books on that shelf right there. I spent not... There might be some stuff, but it's usually over on that section.
Yeah, I'll raise up in a little bit.
I spent $1,700 having my ribs removed for a smaller waist, and now I'm having them made into a crown. Some people would do anything to get their dream body. A trans woman, a man from Kansas City, has had 6 ribs removed in order to achieve a smaller waist, and now he bizarrely plans to turn his spare parts into a crown. Emily James, which one is it, Emily or James?
Probably
dished
James.
Out a whopping $17,000 for the elective cosmetic surgery, and they're eager to commemorate. He's eager to commemorate the peculiar procedure in the most unusual way. I plan on having someone make a crown out of them, James, 27, told Cater's News.
Well, there you go. That's such a dude thing to do.
They let me keep the ribs, and I was initially going to gift them to my best friend. As he was recovering, the Missourian had to wear a corset around the clock to help with the swelling. Though he admitted the pain is only on a 2 scale out of a 10, thanks to a team of doctors and nurses. I plan on making them into a crown. I've had people say they would... make them into a chew toy or boil them down into broth. Personally, I think my meat would taste delicious. Despite some people's suggestions.
It tastes like confusion and shame.
James said he won't be eating his ribs in any form. Eating human meat can cause a plethora of disorders that are fatal. So I won't be partaking in cannibalism, thank you.
Go eat yourself, you son of a bitch.
Many have made jokes and comments about the strange decision. Clearly, we need to rethink about who we allow into medical schools. The Quakery, supposed to be Quackery, not Quakery. Boy, if it was Quakery, it'd be a whole different situation.
Quackery.
But we had the Quakers. You will not be doing this in the house of God!
There shall not be any Quackery.
There shall not be any Quakery. I tell you, that Quaker. Quaker oats. Well, no, you got to look up the Quakers. The Quakers were hardcore religious. They were real hardcore.
They went the extra mile.
They would boil you an oatmeal if you did. Oh, the devil you'll be serving is, yeah. Well, we'll boil you an oatmeal.
They said, we're better safe than sorry.
Right. Going on by people who swear at first do no harm, but then take money to go about cutting of perfectly healthy body parts to humor people and diagnose mental illnesses. I don't know. Seems pretty harmful to me.
Yep. Well, you think, what do your ribs do? They protect vital organs. Let's get rid of about 4 to 6.
This comment violated our policy. Oh.
Ooh, boo-hoo.
Assuming you have ribs for a reason, it seems the doctor who did this might have something of an ethics deficiency.
How dare you make someone aware that you have a mental disorder.
No need for an explanation on the level of insanity. Once I saw the pink hair, the nose ring, and the tattoos, I instantly knew.
Never mind. I had questions, but they've all been answered.
Yep.
You know, back in the day, I thought, man, it'd be fun to dye your hair, and then the woke people took it. Bastardized it.
Next-gen AI glasses help blind navigate freely without canes or guide dogs.
Go left.
Romanian startup Lumen is transforming mobility for the visually impaired with innovative glasses that combine self-driving technology and haptic guidance to replicate the essential functions of a guide dog. That's pretty damn cool. Well, let's look at it. Do we have to, hold on. Is this an ad, or? No, it's not. I guess this is an ad, or is this a... I don't see. I don't know if that is. No, that's... Okay, so the glasses have been... Is this supposed to be the Vive? I'm trying to figure this out. No, it's Lumen, but it... It might be an ad. Maybe that's just an ad that I thought was a video. I don't know. Glasses have been tested by over 300 blind individuals from nearly 30 countries with overwhelmingly positive feedback. Gut recalls witnessing users walk independently without white canes for the first time. Wow. Earlier today, I saw a blind person navigating this crowded area for 10 to 15 minutes, a challenging environment with so many people bumping into each other. Yet they rock freely without a white cane or any assistance. Witnessing brought... This brought tears of joy to some as their first experience walking unassisted. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really freaking cool. I like the idea.
Blind people walking into traffic.
So, here's how it works. I know we have to go a little bit up on the article, and we're reading this a little weird. Bear with me. So... The Lumen glasses employ a haptic interface that guides the user's head, steering them towards safe pathways. Robert Gutt, the company's navigation lead, explains that the glasses create a virtual 3D and semantic map of the surroundings, distinguishing streets, sidewalks, and other objects. The system is designed for outdoor use, which presents a much more complex environment. It could be in a park, a train station, or a large square, much more dynamic than the relatively predictable paths of an autonomous car, which must stay on the road to function. For this reason, we incorporate audio feedback. In certain situations, such as approaching stairs or a crosswalk, the system also provides notifications to guide the user, he points out. That's cool. So, that's neat. That's some neat news for you guys. Man dies trying to rape a cow in a field where his body was found by farmers.
You know what they always say, don't try to rape a cow.
A farm worker was kicked to death after he apparently attempted to rape a cow in Brazil. 45-year-old victim, whose name has not been released, was found Wednesday by witnesses lying unconscious near the animal and wearing a condom at a farm.
You know how you know it was rape and non-consensual. The cow went,
located in Samambaia, a town in the federal district. A co-worker told police that he and the man spent Tuesday drinking together at the property where the victim lived. The farm worker woke up Wednesday around 5 a.m. to milk two cows before he met with the owner for breakfast.
He dreaded them. It was a male cow.
The co-worker revealed that the man then returned to collect even more milk from the cows. When the man failed to return, the co-worker told investigators that he and the others had become concerned. He went looking for the man to discover him lying unconscious next to one of the cows around 6:35 in the morning. The co-worker moved the man's body and noticed that he was wearing a condom. Paramedics attempted to revive the farm worker, who did not have a heartbeat and pronounced him dead an hour later. The incident comes almost 5 months after a Russian tourist who allegedly tried to rape a cow was killed in Thailand. If Genie Kolshnov, 26, is said to have stripped off and sidled over to a male bull before turning his attention to a female tied to a wooden fence in a field. He attempted to climb onto the cow, but she reacted violently and pinned him to the ground before goring him. In this country, if such a thing happened, farmers would be required to put a warning label on every cow for their legal protection. Because some lawyer somewhere would sue the farmer for exposing the animal abuser to unnecessary danger, death, and disfigurement.
Surgeon General warning, do not try to penetrate.
Now I know what a cow orker is. Previously, I'd assumed it meant to mean a co-worker. A cow orker? Now I know what a cow orker is. Previously, I'd assumed it meant to be a co-worker. Cow porker. Cattle prod.
If it'd been a goat, it'd been Middle Eastern jokes everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Woman who covered herself in Mountain Dew and bid to hide savage murder learns her fate. What?
Don't worry. The Mountain Dew's eating her body alive.
A Florida woman who tried to cover up a fatal stabbing by pouring Mountain Dew all over herself has been sentenced to 35 years behind bars. Nicole Max, 37, fatally stabbed her 79-year-old roommate, Michael Sarasoli, inside their Daytona Beach home on July the 12th of 2023. Max then set fire to the second floor of the house and fled, with first responders racing to the scene after a passerby spotted smoke coming from the home. Sarasoli's body was found on the second floor with blunt force trauma injuries to the head and stab wounds to his chest. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Max was located a short time later at an intersection armed with a knife and a hammer, which police say she promptly dropped as officers approached. Max was not wearing any shoes at the time, and police noticed blood on her leg and saw that she was bleeding from head to toe. Part of Max's shirt also appeared to have been cut or torn off, which investigators later determined had blood on it. On Thursday, Max was sentenced to 35 years in a state correctional facility for the killing of Sarasoli. Good Lord, that's her.
Boy, she's rough. You knew it came out of Florida.
Good Lord. In the aftermath, an attorney representing Max tried to claim she was unfit to stand trial, but mental health professionals found her competent to stand trial last December. In November, she reached a plea agreement, which she pleaded no contest to reduced charge of second-degree murder as opposed to first-degree murder charge, which carries a mandatory life sentence. She also pleaded no contest to arson of a dwelling, a first-degree felony, and evidence tampering and resisting arrest with violence, both third-degree felonies. The 35 years in prison is the least amount of prison time she could receive according to her plea agreement. Public defender Jessica Lindsay Roberts told the court that Max had been the victim of sexual abuse and sex trafficking throughout her life. A representative said that many people had betrayed her and that her own mind betrayed her, which led to the killing. Circuit Judge Leah Case cited the abuse when sentencing her, adding, "We can't lose sight of the fact that she murdered somebody. She'd been diagnosed as having both a schizoaffective disorder, bipolar type, and post-traumatic stress disorder." The real question is, can anybody solve the math question written across her chest? Let's see.
I don't even know what she could answer.
So this is the original thing. When police questioned her, they claimed that she changed her story about where she was living, saying that she'd been homeless for about 4 years. She also told cops, reportedly, that she was hospitalized earlier in the day after she had a panic attack at a gym where she was running on a treadmill.
Oh, a homeless person looking after her health, eh?
Max denied seeing Sarasoli that day, but police say she later changed her story to say she did, in fact, see him. She eventually refused to answer any more questions and asked for an attorney. Officers then informed her that they were going to take DNA samples, at which point she requested a soda. Kind cops then handed her a can of Diet Mountain Dew. But officers soon noticed she was taking her time with the drink, which they tried to grab from her. At that point, Max poured the drink all over her head and hair, what police called an attempt to interfere with collection of evidence. Her efforts, though, failed as investigators were able to determine that both her and Sarasoli's blood matched that on the knife found next to his body. Whoa! She thought she had it all covered. She forgot about the knife. She forgot about the knife.
The knife? Shit, can I see the knife and some Mountain Dew, please?
Right.
Didn't work, bitch.
Confessions of a female cuckold. Hold on. Whoa. They want to give me a Daily Mail Plus on this one. I'll show them. Whoops. You don't care. You've seen it before. Remove paywall. Why does it keep giving me that?
Yeah, bro.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Confessions of a female cuckold. I let my husband sleep with my single friends. Women think I'm crazy, but it's a thrill I can't live without.
Wow.
Many married couples struggle to keep the spark alive. Some resort to fantasies, role-playing and dirty weekends away, but for this 33-year-old Honey Brooks, the secret to her active sex life is a little healthy competition. She's been married to her husband Hank for 9 years, and they live on a farm in Queensland, Australia with their two children. For the last 2 years, she's been sharing her husband with her friends as well as other women they meet online and insists it's done wonders for their marriage. Their arrangement is the opposite of the hot wife lifestyle, a popular kink among middle-class couples whereby the husband encourages his wife to have extramarital affairs while he stays faithful. For Honey and Hank, there was no infidelity or dissatisfaction that triggered their decision to open their marriage, but rather it was a fantasy she'd always had. I mean, if it works for you. I lend my husband out to my single friends. I love it. I get such a thrill, Honey says. It's all my idea, and I'm a willing participant. Our marriage is extremely solid. There's no jealousy. We're just having fun. A year after Honey gave her husband permission to have sex outside their marriage, he'd slept with 20 women. But by the end of 2024, that number had blown up to 182.
How many friends she got?
A lot. Well, their marriage may seem baffling.
Friends, Instagram friends. It didn't matter.
While their marriage may seem baffling to outsiders, Honey insists she's not jealous of the women her husband sleeps with. While she mostly leaves Hank to his own devices, sometimes she helps him choose new partners. I mean, Jesus, 100. I'm still looking at that number like, what? And has even joined them for hotel rendezvous. There's a single mom at my children's school who was telling me how she misses sex and had been so long, Honey says. So I was like, you can borrow Hank. She thought it was a joke at first, then it happened, and it's a regular thing now.
Mm. You're a good woman. Did I ever tell you that? I'll tell you. That'd be a tough one.
While Honey and Hank are very happy, I don't think I'd personally mind it. While Honey and Hank are very happy with the state of their marriage, the couple has received plenty of backlash online. Honey, who shares stories about her marriage with her 155,500 TikTok followers and is an OnlyFans content creator, because of course she is, says many critics suggest that her Hank will leave her for another woman one day. But she finds this laughable, saying, Hank and I are best friends and I literally let him sleep with other women. Name a better wife. However, it's not all fun and games, as Honey recently revealed things went down a dangerous path with one woman she shared her husband with. She posted a video to TikTok just last month saying she had an experience go so horribly wrong when she and Hank had a threesome with a woman at a hotel. There were red flags right from the start. She wanted to catch up with us. She wanted to sleep with a couple. She had never done it, Honey explained. We weren't too sure, but she was so persistent. We were busy. We couldn't see her. And she just wouldn't stop messaging us, so one night we're like, yeah, let's do it. We met her and the night was fine. The night went really well. We had fun. We had some drinks and then she went home. It wasn't until the next day that the craziness started. Honey went on to say that the woman that she and Hank had sex with fell in love with both of them and began stalking them after their night together. She wanted to be our unicorn, Honey explained, referring to a person who joins an existing couple's relationship as a regular third partner. Honey added, she wanted to meet our children. She wanted to come to our house. We never meet anyone in our house. It's only at hotels. This woman wanted to come over. She wouldn't take no for an answer. That's so funny because everyone's like, your husband's going to fall in love with another woman and leave you. Never in a million years did you guys expect that another woman was going to fall in love with both of us and just want to be in our life forever. Honey claimed that she and Hank ended up blocking the alleged stalker on all her social media accounts as well as her phone number. But the content creator said that didn't stop the woman from getting a new phone number and harassing the couple for weeks.
Fatal attraction.
It was insane. The amount of messages we were getting daily was crazy. Honey said the woman kept begging her and her husband to include her in their relationship, saying she'd do anything to make them happy. My husband had to eventually call her and be like, if you don't stop this, we're going to get a stalking warrant out for you. You need to calm your farm, Honey said. Hank threatened to go to the police if the woman didn't stop contacting them, and Honey said she hadn't messaged him since. Despite the mishap, Honey and Hank have managed to make the most of their unique bedroom activities as they frequently share their extramarital adventures online. Garnering more than 2.2 million views on TikTok alone, the pair claim to have earned more than $1 million thanks to their unorthodox lifestyle.
You're not doing it for the love of the game?
Yeah. There was another one. Dan Bilzerian suffers humiliating blow as he sells Las Vegas' most expensive mansion. Yep. He ain't doing too good on that one. Nobody else backed that one up, unfortunately. Oh, no, they did. Okay. Most expensive mansion. Dan Bilzerian, a poker player and self-proclaimed king of Instagram, has slashed the price of his opulent Spring Valley estate by a staggering $5 million. That's a stark climb down for Bilzerian, whose home previously had the title of the most expensive listing in the Las Vegas Valley. Sorry, man. He's not doing good so well. I mean, you look at all these pictures in the past. Oh, this is the man you gotta be. This is the alpha. This is the man you wanna be. This is him now. I don't know what he's doing with all those ex.
He looks like a guy. He don't look like he's doing terrible.
He don't look like he's doing terrible, but you can tell there's just a... He doesn't have that same...
What's him before?
Dan Bilzerian?
Yeah.
Alright, let's look at Dan Bilzerian.
You know, some people just age.
Yeah, they do. Dan Bilzerian.
Looks like the same guy.
I guess he does. Well, maybe that's...
Maybe that's just what he looks like.
Maybe that's probably just what he looks like. I don't know. He always looks like... That's him on his good day right
Boy,
there.
I bet that hurt his feelings. What? I'm ugly? I've always been ugly. Shit.
But I got money and women and everything else. I guess I'm doing all right.
The Grim Lord said I'm ugly. Life ain't worth living no more, huh?
I strongly doubt Dan Bilzerian's worried about my opinion.
I'm pretty sure I concur with that.
Okay. I mean, there's its women. Outside, there's a stunningly elaborate pool. Oh, the women are not included. Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, you don't get... So, if you want to buy Dan Bilzerian's mansion, the women do not come with it. Now, some of you are like, well, damn. And then some of you are like, well, damn, that's a headache. Because they come with...
Oh, you get a mansion, you'll get the women. No worries. You gotta hit it and quit it.
Yeah.
Of course.
16 cars.
I'm like a Christian boy. I don't do that sort of thing.
Dan Bilzerian shows off glitzy lifestyle as king of Instagram. Oh, he's got some other shit going on, though. There's an indictment. Disgraced former Wall Street investor accused of funneling money. Oh, shit. All these people with all this money, and it turns out they got it from some shady means. Let's see. Seems like he's trying to be a Hugh Hefner. Yeah. But there's already a place like that. And we're going to end the show with this article. So there's something that you didn't know about, DP. And yeah. I think you might have some opinions. We were originally going to talk about this with Empress. This is the article I was talking about before I got sidetracked. But let's see. Where is it? I know we've got it. Give me a minute to find it. No, that's not it. Just give me a second. I will find it. Or maybe I won't. Did I accidentally... Did I get... Oh, no, here it is. Okay. Meet the Bop House, the internet's divisive new OnlyFans hype house. Founded by Sophie Rain and Aisha Sophie, this house is home to 8 creators who collectively boast over 33 million followers. What if the Playboy Mansion was filled with OnlyFans content creators? Uh-huh. That's the pitch for the Bop House, a TikTok page that has gained nearly 3 million followers since its launch in December. Founded by Sophie Rain, 20, and Aisha Sophie, 22, the house is home to 8 creators ages 19 to 24, who collectively boast more than 33 million followers. Their TikTok presence leans into viral, algorithm-friendly content like flying private to the Super Bowl and reviewing popular cookie brand Crumble. But its real revenue stream comes from OnlyFans. The Bop House claims to have generated $10 million in revenue in its first month. It's just like a little girl group that we're all doing, and we just want to uplift each other and help each other grow on TikTok, Rain told the Daily Mail. The house has its own website, with a profile of each girl directing to their various social media platforms. The name itself is a reference to Gen Z slang, which stands for baddie on point, a term used to describe a person who uses their body to make money.
Yeah, my thing.
The group has sparked controversy over the blurred line between their PG-rated TikTok presence and their adult content careers. Many members, including Rain, are 21 and under. One even wears braces. Although Rain is an OnlyFans creator, she says she's also a devout Christian and wears a promise ring. The issue is that the content looks very, very young, user Amber Horsberg posted in a video. The deliberate marketing of youthful personas for adult content is creating a demand for barely legal performers, but barely legal's always been a thing. With its mostly PG Instagram and TikTok videos, the Bop House has built a following on social media to funnel viewers towards its OnlyFans content. Given the platform's young user base, about 25% of TikTok's global users are between ages of 10 and 19, this raises clear concerns. Whether that responsibility falls on the Bop House is less clear. So here we go. Let's look at this. Here's a video. The Bop House, Underage Fantasy Factory. 43 million last year. These are the girls. Huh. These are the girls.
Looks like they won't have anyone wondering about 30.
I don't know. How much have you made?
Christmas 50? In July.
Yep. It's not July yet, but yeah.
Yeah, well.
Demand for this content.
Weather in our part of the neighborhood, you never know.
Rest of the creators, you saw the money that was left on the table for underage fantasy content. Well, I mean, that's what happens. I guess when they age out, it won't be as...
Yeah. Hey, honey, you want a hand job?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm good.
Weren't
either
way,
you older than me when I started? Yeah, but now I look younger than you for some reason.
Either way, the Bop House has no plans to slow down. In a recent interview, Rain added, we can afford a new mansion every single month with the money the Bop House is making us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how will women split up a lot of money together? Well,
no.
I bet it's being... There's fraud and scandal as we speak.
So what is the house? Okay, what happens? We got another article on the Bop House. Alright, so what is the OnlyFans Bop House? What happens when you put 8 creators in a mansion? You make a lot of money. You also attract a lot of controversy. Started in 2024, we know, by Sophie Rain and Sophie, and whatever her name is. The latest content creator house, dubbed the Bop House, has gained a TikTok following of over 1.3 million only a month since its launch. Although it may sound like a lot to the layman, 1.3 million is actually a paltry figure given the Bop House's 8 tenants have a collective social media following over 33 million. Promises sort of a digital collective, the Bop House invites 8 young women to live with each other in a lush Florida mansion with loose agreement to support and cross-promote each other's content online. It's not an entirely new concept because they have existed since the early 2000s. However, the prominent TikTok and Instagram followings of these OnlyFans creators are attracting attention to people concerned that the TikToks of them dancing in their PJs have a sinister edge. Curious, it seems you're not the only one. Here's everything we know about the Bop House and its creators. The Bop House is a content creator home started by, of course, those two girls. It houses the eight content creators whose primary means of making money is OnlyFans. Which is, of course, pornographic content mostly, yeah. Ranging from wholesome feet pics, which Lily Allen does, to various sexual acts. The concept of content creator house essentially involves a number of influencers or content creators coming together and renting a large and fancy house. However, it's not an only exclusive real estate. It's not only exclusive real estate, but also an online collective which relies on the members sharing and appearing in each other's content, a key success strategy in the digital realm. Taking off between 2015 and 2020, original content creator homes and collectors like the Hype House and Team 10 house key influencers of the era. And court like these guys. Then their popularity came crashing down and amid accusations of bullying, hacking, and exploitation. However, the Bop House hasn't met such accusations from its members. The Bop House is in Florida. Since then, it's January. Yeah, we know about that. Who are the Bop House members? We know them all. They're all right there. Sophie Rain is one of the original Bop House members and certainly the most prominent. She made headlines across the world when she allegedly made over $43 million. Rain advertises her virginity and Christianity, wearing a promise ring and pledging only to have sex after marriage.
Well, I mean, you're still whoring yourself out in a way.
Let's see. How much money does the Bop House make? It's difficult to say individually, with members declaring on social media incomes between $54,000 a week and $43 million a year. However, as a group, they allegedly made $10 million in December.
If you're still intentionally causing other people to sin, it still sounds like a sin.
Hold on, I didn't want to do that. There we go, let's go back. Let me go back to, I gotta go back. Hold on. Just a second. Recently closed. There we go. Sorry about that. Okay, so I didn't know that was gonna bring up a TikTok video, but whatever. It basically said, online child safety. So people are a little worried about kids that are getting interested in these girls, and they're all like OnlyFans
the
girls.
Horse shit I ever saw.
Yeah, but it's kids. But
for people that
right. A key criticism is that the women living there are creating followings accessible to children on platforms like TikTok and Instagram, which serve to support their OnlyFans accounts. While the content posted on these platforms is PG in nature, like TikTok dances, viral games, and podcasts, it also exists alongside provocative selfies and links to their adult content accounts. Now, that shouldn't be there.
No.
The Briefing podcast pondered the criticism of viral social media accounts like Bop House on TikTok encourage young people to want to be adult content creators. However, Australian adult content creator Nova Hawthorne said the responsibility for the consumption of this content lies with the individual, perhaps with the platform. I don't think it's the content creator's job to be role models. It is because of their huge popularity, something they need to be aware of in marketing. But I don't think it comes down to them to be aware of that. It's the people around the young people accessing social media to be understanding that this is a global platform which includes adults. So it's a world that they need to be understanding of across all areas, and consumers need to reflect and think critically on the content they consume. As adults, we need to make sure what young people are watching is appropriate and that they understand it's not always real. And sometimes just marketing. And we need to ask what is the message behind the content. And a lot of the time, the messages go to my adult content. The Bop House and Christianity. Many have also wondered how key members of the Bop House reconcile their faith. Specifically, Sophie remains an outspoken Christian, with many wondering how her faith and profession can coexist. Furthermore, the briefing touched on the criticisms that Rain's virginity and Christianity were simply branding and publicity strategies, which also fuel a desire for virginal women. Hawthorne was aware of the issue, but reminded that Rain herself is not responsible for this long and widely held appetite.
She's part of it, though. It's like, adultery. If you're getting as many people to commit, because in the Bible it says if you think it in your head, of course they're
right.
You know,
right, that's true. I mean, look, he who's without sin cast the first stone.
Yeah, and that's true. But it also says in the Bible several things. If you lead others to hell,
right,
you can't reach salvation.
The age or perceived age of some creators. Some of the Bop House content creators traffic in appearing young and almost childlike. Despite OnlyFans insisting it has very rigorous age verification processes, critics have questioned whether the positioning or branding of some creators as being young is well warped. Even Bauhaus member Camila Araujo called people sick after it was revealed that her then-assistant and fellow Bauhaus member Julia Filippo made $54,000 in a week after joining OnlyFans. "Y'all are sick fucks because she looks 12," she said in a clip that has been viewed over 19 million times. One comment.
I look way younger than what. Shoot,
so do
I. Was 18, I look like I was 12.
Yeah.
Can't help it. The way I was born.
One commenter defended the Bauhaus by comparing it to the Playboy Mansion. Why would present-day commenters be scandalized by a house of young adult content creators when the Playboy Mansion has existed for decades? And perhaps under more dubious conditions, given the content was not owned by those who featured it. So, I don't know, guys. The Bauhaus is an interesting situation. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to end well.
I don't either.
And then they found all the creators dead, drink, spent Kool-Aid glasses on the floor.
We'll hear about
this.
With
a manifesto saying they were waiting for the spaceship.
Yeah, well, we'll hear about this crap later. But that's all we have to talk about this time on the Grim Articles show. So thanks for being a part of it, and this is technically supposed to be our first show of March. So let me do some announcements, just some. I worked real hard, so I'm kind of tired, but I'll do some small announcements. Alright, so guys, yes, it is spring into AVN month, which means all your AVN favorites are coming back. Ooh. All the good ones, and we got Being a Dick. It's coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. They just did a bunch of bug fixes for the episode. So we're still waiting. He says it's gonna release on Friday. We won't have it until the next week, because I'm not paying $25 for an episode. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. But I will pay $10 for an episode. So we will be doing that for the $10 episode. We will be playing that. If you absolutely have to get it, go fucking buy it from the Patreon for $25. But we're waiting, okay? So, yeah, and we'll have it in like hour chunks as we normally do. Which means we might cut the show shorter, or I might even start earlier so we can just jump right into Being a Dick, you know. And we plan to do this, I think, next Monday. Would be the second week. Or is it the third Monday?
This is the first day of March.
Yeah, this is the first day of March. So,
technically now it's the second day, because the first day was before midnight.
Okay, so let me see then. Hand me my phone. I'll get it. I know you can't. I'll get it. Okay, so I'm just going to do the math right here, guys, so I can find out exactly when, because they have all the dates and everything. So I'm going to go into... I don't want to go right into Dr. Pinkcake on my computer here. I'll check it out. Patreon. It'll tell me. Okay, so he's got... Come on. All right. Release date. Okay, so the release date. Okay, so we got it right here. Yep, Monday, March the 10th. So Monday, March the 10th, we should have it. We planned on maybe trying to do a movie or something, and maybe when we get back, just do Being a Dick for an hour. Maybe more. I don't know. It depends. You know, Being a Dick, it's got a good story and good characters, so we'll like it. So we're thinking about maybe giving you guys that. Maybe we'll do an hour. Maybe we'll do 2 hours. Maybe we'll split 1 hour, because you guys don't like to watch all 2 hours at one time for some reason. But if I split them, you'll watch it. Anyway,
Well, because, what, they only need about 10 minutes sometimes, huh?
Yeah. But all right. So that's what we're going to do with that. Of course, you know, Eternum coming back. I said Ripples is coming back, because that apparently got really good. We're going to do Race of Life because somebody has requested it. We're going to continue Tragedy of Medusa and continue with Deep Glugs' games. So we're going to continue that whole story. He's given me the okay to do that. Awesome. And there's several other content creators that want me to do their games. Guys, and when I say content creators, I mean game developers, not content creators. Game developers. Several more developers. I'm one person. I'm trying to do the best I can, all right? So we're going to try to get as many of these as we can to you guys. But we also want to keep things consistent. Like, we want to make sure that you're getting part one, part two, part three, part four, you know, in a timely manner. We don't want to just give you a part one and part two comes like 3 months from now.
Yeah.
We want to try to keep it consistent. Mm-hmm. I may not be able to do that with the Aerogay as much, but I can do that with the AVN. So when we get more Chasing Sunsets, I'll let you know. So far, there's not been a peep out of Stone Fox. I've not heard a fucking word from those guys. That means they're hard at work on the finale, and that's good. So that stuff is being done. Of course, we're not changing any of the games we normally do. The Lust Academy, Lust Theory, Bear Witness, which I'm not going to do tonight, but I'll have... I mean, you guys will see it anyway. It doesn't matter if I do it tonight or not, because it'll be the next video anyway.
About a Bear Witness is a murder.
Yeah, Bear Witness. And there's another one that I used to do. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's completely finished. Or it's maybe at 9.0, which means it's almost done. And I think we're going to go back to that. It was like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of one. And I liked it a lot. Something World, Forgotten World, can't remember it. But we definitely want to do that. So there's a lot of stuff coming up, you guys. And just, you know, this is my favorite. Like, I love the hentai games. They're fun. But when we do the AVN, that's like my bread and butter. I love that stuff. And you guys do, too. They tend to get more hits. So I'll continue doing them. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and we'll see you guys next time. I am out.
Later.
Enjoy the incline.